Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. Welcome. We've got our listening practicum today, our first practicum of the course, of the training. I'm really excited about it. But before we get there, on a clinic call yesterday for the women that are in level two, a question came up about meditations and grounding, and I had, you know, mentioned that when you do an opening meditation or grounding, which is a great way to set the container, that you can slip in a little bit of teaching, a little bit of learning in there. And somebody asked for an example, so I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we just spent a couple minutes on our call today, and I can really model that for everyone. So, and it's a great way to actually start a practicum, to just really get grounded, since so much of this call is going to be about you. So, with that being said, let's take a moment and get grounded and breathe for a few moments and just really bring ourselves forward and bring ourselves present. So, wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. And if you're somewhere where you can't close your eyes, I invite you to kind of close the shades on your eyes. Just go inward for a little bit. Just letting all of whatever has been happening previously in the day, just let it go. Moving away from the computer and the social media and the email, the texts. And just really give yourself a few moments right now to get grounded. And I invite you to notice where you're making connection with your seat or with the ground beneath you, and allow some of your energy to move downwards, straight into that place where you're making connection, taking note that the earth is somewhere beneath that, right there to support you, to hold you. The earth is always there. And just allow yourself to relax in to that space. And then finding your breath, inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up, take in life. Take in exactly what you need. And as you exhale, release, let go. Inhaling, opening up and receiving. Exhaling, letting go of whatever you don't need. Using the breath to connect deeply with your body. To take pleasure. And using the breath to connect deeply to the wisdom that is stored in your body. Inhaling and exhaling. Each breath is moving a little more into yourself, bringing yourself a little more present to this moment, becoming more aware of your body. And as you breathe in this way, I invite you to attune to the fact that we are just a little bit over a week away, for those of us in my hemisphere, just a little over a week away from the winter solstice, from the shortest day of the year. So since end of September, the days have been getting shorter and shorter, and the nights have been getting longer and darker. And we are right now in the darkest few weeks of the entire year. We are right now in the moment with the least daylight. And as you attune to this energy of the winter solstice and of the long and of the dark, I invite you to become aware of where in your life or your business you are in the dark right now. Where in your life or your business do things feel fuzzy? Do you not have the full clarity that comes with the daylight? Maybe it's about a new offering that has been coming to mind. Or maybe it's about a new home or a relationship that you're in. So where is it that you feel in the dark? And as you identify that thing that's in darkness right now, I invite you to notice what your attitude has been towards the lack of clarity, towards the darkness. We tend, as human beings, to get frustrated when we don't have full clarity, when we don't know right away, when we don't see all of the details, when we don't fully understand, when we don't fully know. But the truth is that dark is just as important as light. The mystery is just as important as the clarity. When do dreams get dreamed and initiated? Not in the light of day, but in the darkness at night when there are fewer boundaries, when anything can happen. There is a purpose to not knowing. There is a purpose to not knowing. So I invite you to take one more moment now and just consider, what is the value, whatever this thing that you identified that's in the dark right now, what is the value of not being fully clear on it in this moment? Why is that exactly right and perfectly aligned for you? What's the value there? Beautiful. And then together we'll take a nice deep breath in. Exhale everything out with a sigh. And then allow your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together. And if there's any notes that you want to make around what came through in that just really short little visualization, just take a moment, jot down any notes. Okay. So, as I said earlier, so excited for our time together today. This is our first practicum. And the practicums are really powerful opportunities for us to go deeper and to really, for you to integrate some of the concepts that we've been learning so far. And today we're going to focus on listening skills. So the point of the whole practicum today is to really integrate and go deeper and get some of my feedback on your listening skills. So I'll tell you just briefly how we're going to work our time together. We'll probably have time for a couple of examples. We'll see how it goes, but I'll ask a volunteer to come forward. The volunteer will kind of be our little guinea pig, if you will. And I'm just going to ask you, if you volunteer, I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, enough just so that you can share some things that we'll all be listening to. So I'm not going to take you anywhere near like a full coaching session or anything like that, but I'll probably just have you answer questions for about 3 or 4 minutes on a topic that you're wanting to work on right now, like almost as if you were coming to a coaching session. And everybody else on the call will be listening in, and you'll be really taking notes on what you're hearing. Right, and I'll remind you of some things to be listening for, and then basically I'm going to be asking you to everybody else on the call to tell me what are you hearing, what are you hearing that's underneath the layers here. Let's get deeper and let's pull those pieces out. It's a great opportunity for you to really practice your listening skills. So hopefully on this call I'm going to be doing way less talking than I usually do. You're going to be doing most of the talking and the sharing. But so what that means is that the more that you're really willing to participate and bring your ideas forward, then the more valuable that this call is going to be. This is really about what you're going to bring to the table here. You're going to learn from each other so much because somebody's going to share something that they heard that it didn't even occur to you, but it'll kind of be like an aha moment, right? So you're going to be learning so much from each other. Before we jump in, though, there was a topic that came up in the Facebook group that had to do with listening skills, and I really just wanted to speak to it for a moment because it was such a great point. Someone was saying that she was getting a little bit confused between like what's a filter and what's a belief and what's a fear and what's a shadow, and they kind of all seemed jumbled together. And should she be watching herself for all of those things when she's listening? And yes. So the reason why I took the time to really talk about listening filters is because I want you to be 100% clean. I want your ears to be 100% clean when you come to your coaching work and to your client calls. And if there are any shadows, if there are any fears, if there are any limiting beliefs, if there are any triggers that are unchecked, they don't have to be removed, but if they're unchecked, then you're not listening with clean ears. Now, sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And what I mean by that is sometimes we've got a belief that is embedded so deeply inside of us that we're not aware of it, right? So we can't clean our ears in order to be aware of it. That's why I suggest identifying your filters, because we do know our filters. We know our upbringing. We know our religion. We know all of these things. And then from there, once we identify the filter, then we can say, okay, what are the beliefs or what are the fears, right? Or what are the triggers that this filter has created inside of me? So the filters are almost like a backdoor way to understanding some more of these other things that you might be bringing to your coaching calls that might stand in the way of fully seeing, hearing, listening to your clients. All right, so that being said, a quick reminder of what you want to be listening for once I bring our first volunteer on. So, the listening skills that we've learned so far, I'm going to laundry list them for a moment. So the importance of clients feeling seen, heard, and loved, the importance of you as the coach being present in every moment. I want you to be fully present when you're listening to our volunteer. The importance of listening to yourself and your own hunches as well as listening to the client. The importance of curiosity. Listening for the who so that you can coach the what based on the who. Your filters and your biases. Listening for the client's emotional state. Listening for how engaged the client is with what he's talking about. Noticing when there's silence and what that might mean. Listening for pacing, for tone. Client's essential nature. Does the client feel connected to you as a coach? listening for matches or mismatches between behaviors, goals, and commitments, listening for motivations, listening to specific language and terminology the client uses, looking for their strengths and listening for their strengths, listening for their obstacles, their potential obstacles, wins and celebrations, their beliefs, their goals, and their visions, listening to what the client isn't saying, and is there something important there, right? Is the client repeating anything? We went through all of these last week, but just as a reminder, listening for connections and patterns. So those are all the things and more that I'll be asking you to listen for. So I'm going to call a volunteer in a moment, and hopefully somebody will be willing to volunteer. I know it's always hard be the first one. And as I start talking with our volunteer client, again, what I'd like for you to do is to just listen and write down all of the things that you're hearing, not the facts, right? I'm not talking about facts like she would like to lose 5 pounds, right? But I'm talking about all the other things that I just mentioned. So that being said, star two, who would like to be our volunteer? Oh, somebody's hand is already raised. I don't know if this is a question from before. You want to be our volunteer? I should know
Hello?
Who this is. Hi, who is this?
Hi, it's Chrissy from Kauai.
Hey, Chrissy. Are you volunteering?
Yeah, why not?
Awesome. Awesome. Yay. And Kara, I see that you raised your hand. I'm going to get you as the next volunteer, because we're going to do more than one. All right, awesome. Thank you, Chrissy, for volunteering. So could you share with us a current situation, either in your life or in your business, that you'd like some support on? And have it be something that's less mechanics. Like, I know you and I are working separately on, you know, strategy for your business. That's not going to kind of really yield for this call what we want. So not, you know, you need strategy on this thing, but something that's going to be less about the mechanics of the topic. So what's something in your life or your work that you'd really like support on right now?
Sure. Maybe I'll use a personal example then. That's okay if it's personal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah, I live in Kauai, and my family lives on the East Coast, and my boyfriend lives on the East Coast, and so I want to be able to move back and explore our relationship more. We've been in a long-distance relationship for a year, and I get really hung up because to leave Hawaii feels like a real loss to me. Like, it's really sad to me. And I'm stuck, I think, in some sort of story about what that would mean. Like, I can't just go back or something like that if it doesn't work out. And I struggle with this a lot. It takes up a lot of my time and my energy of, like, do I stay in this situation? Do I take a chance on this other situation? What if I make a mistake? What if I don't? What if I lose something, you know, in the process? Mm-hmm. Is that a good one? A good
mm-hmm.
enough one?
Yeah, that sounds
okay.
Great. Is it okay if I ask you a couple follow-up questions?
Yeah.
So when you say you want to explore, well, let me even take a step back. So if this, let's pretend this was a coaching session just for a second. What specifically mm-hmm. would you want support on? I hear the situation. What is it that you would really like to receive?
I think what I want is to know that I can make a decision, and even though it feels sad or it feels like I'm kind of bummed out, that it can still be the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes into my business as well too. Sometimes I think I'm going to make the wrong decision, so I don't make any decision.
Uh-huh.
Or I think it has to be perfect, or the conditions have to be just right. So what I want to be able to do in my life and my work is to be able to take more chances and be more vulnerable and put myself out there and not be afraid that I'm going to mess it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes so much sense. And tell me if I'm getting this right, but it feels like what's first priority in all of that, based on what you're saying, is just really trusting yourself that you can make
right.
decisions that are right for you.
Yeah, and how to know which one's the right decision when both could seem right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. I'll just ask you one or two other questions for now. You said earlier that you would like to explore your relationship with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about that. Like, what does that mean?
Because we've lived separately, that helped me a lot because I had gone through a divorce and I have a tendency to just like do what I think other people want in romantic relationships. Like, oh, I know it would make him happy if I did this, so I'll do that kind of thing. I can lose myself in my relationships a little bit. And so having that space was really important at one point because it helped me have my own life. I didn't just up and leave everything I'd worked so hard to create. I could have what I wanted there, and I could explore my relationship with him. And we've gotten closer, and I realize this isn't just a little dating thing. Like, we're really compatible. We're getting to know each other. We care a lot for each other. But there's a certain amount of holding back I'm doing, and I think the distance is just like one example of that. I think that it's a big manifestation of the common issue I have, which is in relationship. I'm not really letting myself be seen or held or taken care of or really, I don't trust myself in the relationship, so I am keeping a lot of space in it. I don't trust that I'll leave if it's not working for me. I don't trust that I will be able to hurt him and say I don't want to be with him in case I don't, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense. So I'm creating all this space. So part of me exploring our relationship is like, what would it be like together if we didn't have all this space? You know, mm-hmm. would I actually want to be with him or not? Would it work or not? Would we get closer?
Yep.
Or would it still feel like maybe it's not right?
Yeah. Awesome. Great.
Because when I'm with them, I love them. And it's amazing. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so easy and wonderful. But when I'm not, I make up a lot of, like, I don't know about him. So I need to be with him to know how I actually feel about him, I think.
Yeah. Okay, great. You're doing so well. I'm going to just ask you one more question just a little bit more material for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will hopefully be helpful for you too, just so you can articulate. What do you love about your life in Hawaii? Because you said you're part-time in Hawaii and part-time in Vermont, where your boyfriend is, right?
Yeah, it's warm. I feel really like in my body there. I worked really hard to overcome like eating disorders and issues that I had with like, you know, eating, drinking too much. And when I'm there, it just comes a lot easier because it's just, I feel really full there. I feel really, like, alive there. I have really great friends there. I have my favorite truck that I, like, manifested, a gold pickup truck. I just love it. I love my home.
Mm-hmm.
Love the ocean. I just love being so connected to nature. I feel like it's really high vibration. Like, it really feels so inspiring there. And I feel like I can do my work from there, from a place of like, wow, look what I've created for myself. This is really inspiring to me and I think to the women I work with as a business coach, you know, and as a person that really demonstrates possibility, you know, for people.
Yeah. Okay, great. I think that's good. Let's pause here. So first, thank you. Thank you for sharing all of that. So for everybody that was listening in, hopefully you've been writing down some of the most important things that you're hearing. And for everything that you've written down, maybe circle you know, if you were to circle like the top three most important things that you heard, what were they? And I'm going to hear from all of you in a moment, but I just want to ask you all a couple of other questions to think about, too. Well, actually, I'll wait on those questions. So start two, what did you hear? What's important about what you just heard if you were the coach in that situation? This is someone from California. Your last numbers are 2809.
Hi, this is Connie Kido.
Hi.
Hi. One of the biggest things I heard was her desire to really trust herself and her decisions.
Yes.
And knowing that whatever she decides, that everything will be okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And I heard a little bit of a fear of loss.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if it's in what she was not saying, what Chrissy wasn't saying about fear of loss, whether whatever decision she makes, whether it's losing her boyfriend or losing her friends and her amazing life in Kauai, there's a fear of losing one of those things, not feeling like she'll be able to have both somehow.
Yeah.
Like that sense of family, home, and the boyfriend.
Yeah, good. So let's pause here because Connie is bringing forward a couple of really important things that if you were in the coach in this situation, you'd want to be really aware of. First of all, that it's really important for Chrissy to trust herself and to trust the decisions that she's making, right? And so that probably even what that might lead you to believe that in the past she's maybe made decisions that she hasn't trusted in, or also that maybe she has trouble making decisions because she doesn't fully trust herself, right? So that's number one. And, you know, just a side note there, I don't know if you guys noticed, obviously, it wasn't a coaching session, but after Chrissy stated her situation, remember I said, you know, one of the ways that you want to set a container is make sure that you're clear on the client's intention, right? So Chrissy stated her situation, but she wasn't really clear yet on what she actually wanted next, right? And so if that were a real coaching call and someone started the conversation the way Chrissy did, she gave so much great information, but her actual purpose for the session wasn't stated, which is why I said, I get the situation. What is it that you'd really, what do you want support on right now, right? And then it helped us get so much more narrow, you know, if that were to be a real coaching call, on where we were going, right? We weren't going to assess how great her relationship with her boyfriend was. You know, we weren't, you know, going to, you know, look at this or that. Like, where we were going was to help her learn how to trust her own decisions. And then, of course, that would lead into, you know, taking steps towards making a decision in this situation. The other thing that Connie brought forward that is really astute, such great listening, is that not only was there, you know, probably like a little bit of a fear of loss, right? You know, I stay in Hawaii away from my boyfriend, or I can go to Vermont and be with him, but that Chrissy was setting up an either-or situation for herself where it had to, you know, there it had to be one or the other. Now, it may be in the end that it has to be one or the other. We don't know yet, but check your filters all the time, right? Because if you're coming from a black and white place of, you know, I can either have my space in this beautiful place where I am, or I can have my relationship, then you're just going to hear the client say that and not be able to help them see if there's a combination of those two things in one way or another. Great. Thank you, Connie. All right. This is someone from Oregon, 2064. Who is this?
Hey, this is Linda.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, Joanne.
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, definitely. So the first thing that I heard from her when she started going and telling me what she was going to bring up, there was a softness and a wistfulness to her voice about, you know, going into this telling of what she wanted to share. And so later on, she talked about taking more chances and being more vulnerable. And she was vulnerable right off, you know, right from the start, I thought. And the trusting yourself was also something that came up for me. And then the other thing that when she talked about what she does and as far as her work, the phrase, you know, I demonstrate possibilities for others. And so what we teach, we often need to learn or don't realize that we have the skills for ourselves around that as well. So I would explore that further with how she does that with her clients and how that might, you know, be used for herself.
Yes, beautiful. Such a great connection that was made, right? We're listening for connections. And that's just such a beautiful one that you made, Linda. Like, what part of Chrissy's expertise is helping her clients find opportunities? And this is a great moment for her to apply that wisdom and expertise to this current situation. The soft and wistful piece is important too, and I want to hone in particularly on the softness. So did you guys notice that throughout when Chrissy was talking? You know, her tone changed a little bit, but generally she is a very soft speaker. It's important to take note of that, because if there would have been a moment where her voice changed from that softness, it would have been a moment to really pay attention to. Beautiful. Thank you, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Kelsey.
Hi. So just following on that, I did hear a change in her voice when she started talking about what she loved about Hawaii. There was a really strong resonance and a flow and kind of an uptick in energy about I feel in my body, I feel healthier. She spoke a little faster. I feel alive. There's friends. I'm warm. And the ocean, I'm connected to nature. She kind of spoke a little quicker. I was high vibration. So there was just a noticeable, like, yes, or resonance in her voice around when you said, what do you love about your life in Hawaii?
Yeah. Yeah, great. So take that a step further, Kelsey. So why is that important? Because you're so right. And as the coach, why is that important to note if you were going to be supporting her in this situation?
That's important to note because resonance and her voice shows a deeper knowing of what she might really want.
Yes. And so, for example, if later on in the conversation or following session, Chrissy would be like, you know what, I'm just moving to Vermont. I've decided that that's the most important thing, but she didn't mention anything about that she would have access to water or access to any of those things that she was talking about in Hawaii. That'd be important to, you know, like, to go back to that moment as a coach to be able to reflect that back to her and stand up for something that she prioritizes as well.
Exactly. There was a way, I'm not exactly sure what part I heard this in, but something about space where I felt her judging her own need for space, that like it's bad that I like this space, and maybe if I didn't have this space, I would know more and about my boyfriend and about whatever. But there was a part of her when she talked about Hawaii and the spaciousness that I could sort of feel her open up in the space.
Yes.
And some part of her head was saying that space isn't good. I shouldn't have or want that or need that.
Yeah. Chrissy, let's hear from you on this. Isn't it funny to hear people talk about you, Chrissy? I still
yeah,
have
it. It's great.
It's great, right? So I mean, this is like the best parts of a coaching session, you know, when you can get be reflected back, right? So it's funny because I heard a little bit differently than Kelsey. Not so much that you were judging your need for space, but that you were questioning how much of a priority it was for you. But I want to hear from you what was happening there for you.
With the space piece?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't miss my boyfriend when I'm in Hawaii, and I like our setup that, I mean, I don't miss him because I know he loves me and everything's going well. If he was, like, really, like, I don't know about this, it would hurt more. But I feel like things are going well. And I have been going back and forth. Like, I've lived now a year. I've been going back and forth to Hawaii, which is, like, wow, it is possible to have both, right? Mm. Which I did not think was possible. So that was cool that that's happened. But he said the phrase, like, I just would think that you'd want to be near somebody that you loved. And he has a hard time with the space because his life isn't as full as mine is in a lot of ways. Like, he's more isolated. And so I put pressure on myself that, like, I need to go be with him more because that's what makes him happy is me being there. But what makes me happy is my life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep, good.
So I do judge the need for space because I feel like the more I create of it, the more it hurts him.
Yeah. Good, good, awesome. Kelsey, right on. Great.
Thanks. And I also want to say, too, whoever went first, like, I
Connie.
Just want to say this is so powerful. Yeah, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
She said, the first thing she said was, I just noticed her desire to, like, trust herself in her decision. Whatever she decides will be okay. And I just started, like, bawling my eyes out when she said that.
Awesome, beautiful.
And how simple it can be
yeah.
to reflect to your client, how powerful that can be.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I hope everyone on the call is seeing this. Like, Connie didn't ask a question there, right? She simply reflected what she was hearing by really being present with her listening skills. Beautiful. Let's take some more. Justine.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. So the only other thing I would add that hasn't been said so far is not letting herself be seen.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little more about that.
So she first started off saying about not being seen in her relationship, but then she also talked about, I think she talked about in other areas of her life, or I would wonder, you know, where else is she not letting herself be seen and what is the impact of that?
Yeah. Yeah. She started making a little bit of a connection to her business there, right? So there's definitely that, you know, this is what's happening in this relationship is definitely happening in other areas of her life, this pattern of not being seen or this tendency
mm-hmm.
towards it.
Yeah, and then to be able to see herself, like how would that impact her ability to make decisions that she felt good about?
Say that again?
Her being able to see herself.
Yes.
And how that would impact her ability to make decisions that she felt good about.
Yes, yes. That's so beautiful, and it's so related to the extra piece of information that Chrissy just gave us about how, like, this questioning of space really started from her boyfriend kind of questioning her need for space, right? It's like sometimes that can distort how we see ourselves or being able to really see ourselves and our needs and our priorities. Important as coaches for us to be aware if that's happening for a client. Good. Brooke.
Hi.
Hi.
I'll just add one thing that I heard that felt really powerful for me was her recognition of how much more grounded in feeling and into her body she is when she's in Hawaii. And she spoke about having an easier time regulating eating and drinking. And I just can't help but wonder forward a little bit how this idea of the body opening up and making decisions might be a powerful modality.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, and it shows such masterful listening skills, Brooke, because what you don't know about Chrissy is that a big part of her work with clients is about the body. So spot on right there. Beautiful. Beautiful. Good. Yeah, so these are all such great shares. Does anyone else, are there a couple other things that I'll add, but anyone else want to bring anything forward? These are really great. Star two. Anything else that you're hearing? Corey.
Hi. Something that struck me is that how easy it is for any of us to get stuck in that either or place, but with the reflection and all these other opportunities that can help us, how that can be such a place of power when we're willing to be vulnerable and allow that to stretch out and see the energy that's in there.
Yes. Yeah, it's so true. And to kind of piggyback on the last part of that, you know, one of the things hopefully that everybody noted about Chrissy is that she's really willing to be vulnerable. Right? So like as a coach, if that were our first session, if that was our enrollment conversation or our first session, that's something I would definitely be taking note of. You know, this client, of course, we all have our resistances and our walls and all of that, but, you know, this client is really willing to be vulnerable, and that lets me know, you know, how much I can, like, push the edge with her to begin with also. I'm glad you're bringing that forward. Thank you, Corey. Anyone else? Star two. So so many – oh, wait, there's one. Hold on. Jessica. Oh, sorry. Jessica.
Sorry, I was on mute. Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
So one thing that I heard, and I guess it just intrigued me, was I think when you asked, what would you really like to receive, she said something like, I want to know if I can make a decision, and something like be bummed out or not, have it not feel, like not feel totally happy, but still have it be the right decision, something mm-hmm. like that. And that really struck me because, I don't know, I guess it just made me wonder about sort of the notion of the right decision and what that meant to her, like what mm-hmm. a right decision was and how that related both to her own, you know, sort of like what we talked about, the body and sense of her own, what she really wants and needs and loves, and then what this other rightness was about.
Yes. Yeah, I love that you're bringing that forward. And it's a great, it's what you're saying is actually such a great example of how good listening leads to really good questioning. Because based on this curiosity that you're having, Jessica, a really powerful question for Chrissy may have been, so define right decision for me. What does the right decision mean to you? Right? Those listening skills will lead to our curiosity, which will lead to questions that are important. Awesome. So glad you're bringing that forward. Anyone else? All right. A couple of other pieces. Oh, wait, there is someone else. Good. This is someone from Arizona. Your name's not coming up.
So this is Souza in Sedona, Arizona.
Hi, Souza. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. This is fascinating. I have a question, though. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if Chrissy could maybe answer this or maybe someone else. But how is what she said about not wanting to lose herself in service to others, how does that link up to or match with what she said about giving up her life in Hawaii because it will make her boyfriend happy. It's what she wants.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I'm not going to have Chrissy answer that, but hopefully, Chrissy, you're taking that in. Sousa, that's a great example of something that you heard there, and that's one of those, like, looking for a mismatch in what a client is saying, right? Saying kind of two contradictory things, that's a place to pick up on for sure and bring forward when you're coaching the client. So that's definitely a pathway that you could go down in that session. Glad that you picked up on that. Okay. Just a couple other things I'm going to add. Really so many of the juicy things were mentioned. But, you know, one other thing that I noted, this is such an obvious one, but, you know, I'm just going to say it anyway, is that Chrissy's super self-aware and really evolved. For me, when I'm coaching, it's something, along with the vulnerability, it's something I'm really looking for. You know, is this person self-aware? Is this person evolved? For a couple of reasons. Number one, because it allows me to know, like, how quickly we're going to get deep into things. And obviously, Chrissy was already pointing out so many of her patterns, you know, all of this. As a true coach would, right? Let me know, like, with this client, we're going to just shoot past the basics and we're going to be able to go deep quickly. But the other reason why it's important to note, and we'll get to this very soon in creating awareness, is that, you know, if I were the coach in that session, I probably would have at some point reflected that back to Chrissy. I probably would have said, you know, there's a lot for us to look at here, but I just first really want to acknowledge you for being so self-aware and so self-evolved, right? You know, those little acknowledgments are important, but you have to listen for them. Another thing I heard, again, this may be obvious, but might not, but it's, you know, I think it's worth mentioning, is that there's something that is starting to shift for Chrissy internally. So she's been in this long-distance relationship for some time, and there's either something that's shifting for her around the relationship itself or her relationship to the relationship, or there's something that's shifting for her around how she defines space and what she needs from space, but something is changing here. This is kind of like a turning point moment. And then the last thing that I'll point out, Chrissy used the term high vibration, and it just struck me, I think, because it's not a term that I, like, who I am, I would generally use. I don't know that I've ever used high vibration. Now, this may be a filter, so I definitely have to check the filter, but for me, when somebody talks about vibration, it usually clues me in to let me know that they're a spiritual person. They believe in energy. If they believe in vibration, they believe in energy, right? So that we're able to have a spiritual conversation. And then the other thing it lets me know is that one of Chrissy's values is positivity and kind of like, and high vibration, right? So that's something that's really important to her. That's not important to all people, right? So it's a good thing to note. Okay, before we move on to our next volunteer, I just want to ask you a couple of questions to round this out. So as you were listening to Chrissy, what filters were you listening through? What were the filters that you were listening through? Maybe you've been in a long-distance relationship before, so you understand that struggle. Or maybe there's something around space for you. Or maybe you've been through a long-distance relationship before and it totally sucked, and maybe you didn't check that as you were listening to Chrissy. just to know what were the filters that you were listening through. Or maybe you have sworn off romantic partnership and you don't need, you know, like, why would she even care about this, right? Or maybe romantic partnership is the most important thing to you. And so if it, that was unchecked, then it would seem like, well, why is this struggle even happening? Christy, is there anything else that you want to add in terms of what it was like for you as the client to hear these shares?
Yeah, this has been amazing. Like, I just see what everybody is seeing, but it was not at the forefront. It's almost like I have hands covering my eyes, and they're just like, you can only do this and you can only do that. And like, when you open them, it's like, oh, I was aware all this was in the room, but I just, like, couldn't even see that any of this needed my attention besides constantly ping-ponging between this or that.
Yeah.
And so it just opens up so much more possibility and seeing myself more clearly and seeing the situation and a lot of new insights or new possibilities came through that are like, why don't I just do this? And that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a short period of time because, like, I've been struggling with this for a year.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. I love it. Yay.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yay to the power of listening skills and to the power of incredible people in this training. So thank you, Christy, for being our first volunteer.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Let me get the technology here. Okay. Kara, I'm going to bring you on. I just need to find you here. I'm going to bring you on as our next guinea pig, if you will, our next client. Hey, Kara.
Hi.
You ready?
Yeah, I think.
Awesome. Great. So share with us a current situation in your personal life or in your work that you'd really like some support on.
Okay. I'm going to go with something that just came up in the moment, different from what I thought when we started. I recently got some feedback from a workshop that happened a while ago, where I was co-facilitating, and someone had made a comment in the written feedback, and it was anonymous, so I don't know who it was, that there was an anxiousness to my, to me, that might impact my authority in the room, is how she, it was all women, so it was a woman who had said that. And, I actually received this feedback right before I was about to facilitate with the same woman, with the same co-facilitator. And so I didn't really allow myself to take it in, and I just, you know, kind of went with the facilitation and felt fine about it. But as I was, as you were talking about vulnerability, this felt like a more vulnerable thing to share around just feeling like myself as a presenter and the other co-facilitator, we have very different energies, and maybe there's a part of me that comes out more in relationship to her, but in general, I do have this both anxiety and drive around being in front of people, sort of this impulse to be in front of people, and then this sort of anxiety about myself that's also very present. I think the question for support is around holding that and not, like, stuffing it into shadow.
Yeah. What are you noticing about how you feel right now?
Well, I have a cold. sort of maybe more emotional and tired, but that this is something that has lived with me. In another lifetime, I was a television news reporter, and I used to, you know, again, that impulse to, like, be out there, but my hands would shake, you know, outside the lens of the camera. It's just something I've always tried to stuff down. So I can just, in this moment, sort of feel a connection to, like, this moment and that time of my life and me as a kid, just all sort of connecting themselves.
Yeah. It feels like maybe different situations, but all the same fear or anxiety running underneath them.
Yeah.
What is that anxiety? What is that voice in your head telling you that causes you to shake so much?
It feels like I'm even just grasping for what it is, like in words. It almost feels like more of an energy than like a message.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. What's the energy?
Yeah, just this shaky. This shaky quality and this like fear of letting that out. I guess the words around the shaky quality are like, I don't know the answer, or I'm not doing well. You know, what if people see that? These are some of the words attached to that energy.
Mm-hmm. What if people see that I don't know the answer and I'm not doing well?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen? What's the fear?
The fear is that they won't like me. They won't set up to work with me. There's some comparison. Like, I think it's come up more in this co-facilitation experience.
Uh-huh.
Of feeling like this other woman, you know, we both have, I think, strengths and weaknesses, but she definitely has more experience than I do, and that,
yeah,
you know, they'll see me differently than her.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's, I think, maybe a value, like, you know, they, they won't see my value or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, the newscasting and then back when you're a little girl, and tell me if I'm getting this right, but it feels to me like almost from the time that you were really little, there was this idea somewhere inside of you that if I don't present as knowing everything, if I don't present as like really doing well, or if I don't present in a certain way, then I'm going to be rejected. I'm not going to be liked.
Yeah. I can feel that energy from my childhood. I'm not recalling any specific.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay.
Moments where, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to leave you hanging here. I'm sorry.
Because
we could keep on going. I probably already went farther than I needed to. But this was great. Thank you. And so I'd love to hear from everyone. What are you hearing? Star two. What are you hearing from Kara? Star two. All right. I should know who this is. You raised your hand before, and I'm blanking. You're from Oregon. I took you off mute. Hello? Are you there? Okay, I'll come back to you. Oh, wait. Are you there?
I'm muted. Justin muted. It's Linda.
Oh, Linda. Right. Oh, I should have remembered. What are you hearing, Linda?
Well, the first thing that caught my eye, or caught my ear, I should say, is when Kara started speaking, she got maybe a sentence in and she coughed before she proceeded. And then she didn't cough one other time afterwards. So to me, that brings up the fifth chakra place of speaking your truth. So that's, you know, what I wanted to say to her is I wanted to honor her taking that life of being a TV reporter, which is one element of speaking your truth, and having the courage to step into this new calling, which is asking her to go deeper, which, of course, peels away all of our fears and reveals all of these things to us. But that is, you know, that courage is something that I really would love to, you know, if she were my client, I would totally honor that, because that's a huge step that she's taking. And so all of the things that are being revealed to her now are, okay, I have this success and competency in one area, and now I'm going into this new place where people certainly have more experience than me and whatever, but she has the courage to go and speak her truth in ways that she's learning how, by being vulnerable, by being seen.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you're pointing that out. And what I would add to that is also that she had the courage to share what she did with us.
Yeah,
which is such a, Kara, such a big step, I think, in terms of you moving forward with this. Beautiful. Thank you, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is someone from California, 8760.
Well, formally, but I still have my California number.
Okay. Who is that?
Jail.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Jail.
Oh, hey, Gail. Am I on speakerphone? I'm hearing an echo.
You know, I think that's what it is. Let me just... I had the speaker on because, oh, dear. My cell phone literacy has just come up. I'm just trying to shut that off.
Do you need a second to shut it off?
Okay.
So now we're on regular.
Great. What are you hearing?
Well, I kind of had a little bit of a hard time because so many of my filters popped right up. I'm like seriously listening to her through my filters. But the first thing I heard was hesitation, and that may be because she was changing. She was going to talk about something, and then she was going to change about something else. But I felt like the hesitation was just because she's dealing with talking about her anxiety and her fears and the place where she's really vulnerable, but also that it's an area that she works through, like she feels drawn to working with people, although she has anxiety about the performance or how she'll be perceived.
Yes, yeah, and I think that hesitation is very related to what Linda was talking about, the cough, right, and just the courage to move forward with it anyway. I'm glad you're pulling that out. I heard that too. It was like, she was almost Kara, like you're like, am I really going to talk about this? Okay, I guess I am. It's important.
Yeah.
Good. And I'm so glad, Gail, that you're aware that you have filters here, but it sounds like you checked them, right? I mean, again, the idea with filters isn't to make them go away. We can't really make our filters go away like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so long as we check them, then we're clean. So good job.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I sometimes I felt like I was so busy saying, oh, I had that. Oh, I felt the same way. Me too. But I was still like, okay, but what is she saying?
Yeah, but that's good. That's what I want you to be asking. Noticing and then asking yourself. Well done. Good. All right, Brooke. What'd you hear?
I just heard a really powerful imagery of the camera frame. When Kara was talking about her work, her previous work as a news reporter, and her hand shaking sort of outside of the frame. And it really just, like, attuned me to her awareness of the energy in her body and what's happening and where she's able to direct it to go and to not go, and that might be something to kind of open up and play with going forward.
Yeah, beautiful, good. Both that and what I'll even just pull out further from there is also just how aware Kara is of not just that anxiety, but that drive that she was talking about, how both exist within her. And you could really hear both.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Justine.
Hi. So two things. One is I heard that she may have judgment around that it's not okay to be emotional. And then the other is that I felt that even though she was having this anxiety and all of that, that she has this confidence to do it anyway. So it's like she keeps showing up, keeps doing it. So there's like this underlying confidence.
I love that. Both of them. So this not that you know, being emotional is maybe not okay. And what I heard, which is similar to what you're sharing, Brooke, is that nervousness isn't okay. It wasn't a regular coaching session, but if I were coaching Kara, then one of the things I would have shared is that I always get sweaty underarms before I facilitate anything. And I train people on how to facilitate, that there is that it is not abnormal at all to feel that way. And then I love what you're pulling out, just this observation about even with the anxiety and even though, yeah, there's a lot of material here to look at the belief and all of that, that Kara keeps on showing up, that the drive that she was talking about, that the desire she was talking about before is in some ways a little stronger than the anxiety. It keeps on winning out. Even though the anxiety is there, that's such a wonderful thing to bring awareness to for a client. It can be so empowering. Awesome. Actually, Kara, let me turn back to you. How does it land for you when you hear Brooke share that about how you keep on showing up anyway.
Yeah, it's true. and it's a bit of a mystery to me that I have both these qualities. And yeah, just it raises a curiosity of like how, I mean, I sort of accept the drive and the confidence piece, but I don't as easily accept the nervous anxiety piece. And it raises a question for me of like, what would it be like to hold the nervous anxiety piece in the same way as like an asset?
I love that. I want you to write that question down for yourself. That would be a great thing to journal on. So beautiful, right? Just like from a listening skill. Good. Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let me get a couple more shares here. Corey.
What I noticed, like Gail did, is I could feel my own filters coming up. And I really kind of did what Gail did and paid attention and really kept coming back to listen, be present. And so that piece, I think, was really important. For Kara, what I heard with her comparison to her co-facilitator, the other woman, was that sister wound.
Yes.
That can come up. Yeah, and seeing herself as less good.
Yes.
That being kind of I'm hearing that as the start point of that intake of breath, the cough, and the willingness to still share in that way. And what I would reflect back to her, and that is the power of that. And she's saying all of this in a group of really powerful, strong women coming together to be supportive of one another. And it's that said so much to me in what she shared.
Yeah, good. So that's something that I made note of also. Did you guys all notice before even Kara circled back to her co-facilitator, just in that brief, in the beginning when she mentioned that co-facilitator, she didn't spend more than 10 seconds on her, but I made a note right then and there that there's something weird in the balance of dynamics or in the way that Kara is perceiving or comparing herself to this co-facilitator. It was just, I forget now exactly what she said, but it was this little, she's like, and the co-facilitator, you know, and she shows up really strongly, but maybe more than me, but I don't know. And then like, that was it. And then she moved on to the next thing. It wasn't quite that, but it was definitely an indicator that there was something going on there for Kara, and something that I would be curious as the coach to, you know, walk down with her a little bit more. Good. I'm glad you're bringing that forward. All right. Let's see. Again, I should know who this is. I think you already raised your hand, but I don't remember. 2809.
Hi, it's Connie again.
Hi.
Hi. I was getting a phone call, so I didn't get to hear everything, but I just also wanted to speak about my filters coming up and my imposter syndrome filters and the sister wound filters and all of that. And one thing I was curious about was I would have asked what it would be like if she didn't feel like this nervousness and anxiety was a bad thing. What if it was actually a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
And what if it was one of her strengths? And what if she just spoke it and was just spoke it and shared that with the audience, and it would probably open up connection, because I'm sure the audience, there's times in their lives where they felt, I'm feeling it now, nervous and anxious and shaky.
Yeah,
and
yeah, beautiful.
That,
so that really points to the question that Kara was just coming to, but I love that you're saying that. And one of the things I heard that you really heard, Connie, is that Kara's belief was that the anxiety was bad, you know, just like whatever bad is, right? Like all bad. But really there are other shades in there, and that it could possibly be a strength. Beautiful. It's great. Let me ask everybody a couple of other questions here. What did you hear in what Kara was saying that maybe she can't even hear yet herself? Well, I'll ask you a couple of questions and we'll see what hands get raised for this. So first one, I want you to think about, what did you hear in what she shared that maybe she can't even hear yet or hasn't even heard yet herself? Next question is, you know, as you were listening to Kara, what were you curious about? Where did your natural curiosity go? And then next question is a little bit of an experimental one, but let's try it. What hunches do you have about Kara, about what she might need, or about what's possible for her, or anything? What hunches do you have? So I'd love to hear some shares on these questions. Star two, what did you hear that maybe Kara hasn't even heard yet for herself? What are you curious about? And what hunches do you have? I know I'm asking you to go out a little bit more on a limb here with your listening, but I just want to push you a little bit more here. So star two. I'm not getting any hands raised. Ah, here we go. Sophia.
Oh, hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I heard that she has pretty high expectations for herself. So she wants to do, like, a really, really amazing job. And so she's really dedicated to doing a really good job. And I think that's a wonderful thing. She didn't necessarily say that I have really high standards, but I have a feeling that she probably does, right? Because she has a lot of performance anxiety right now, and she's also feeling like kind of a pressure to be, you know, really quote strong, like the co-facilitator.
Yeah. Yeah, good. So, Kara, let's ask you, is Sophia's hunch right? Do you have high expectations of yourself?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Good. I'm so glad that you're bringing this forward, Sophia, and it's such a great thing, again, as a coach to know, right? Because, number one, to just know this about your client, but number two, to create awareness around it, too.
The other thing I wanted to say really quick was, I don't know if my share is supposed to be done. Is it supposed to be done?
Oh, no, you can say something else. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I wanted to say, so she feels the need to not let other people down. I think that's the other thing that I heard. Because it sounded like there was someone she was trying not to let down. So, yeah, that's the other thing that I heard.
Yeah, so the way that I would even pull that out even more is that, Kara, when you go into those anxiety places, your focus is so much more on the other person than on maybe you and your own needs. Good. Mm-hmm. Good. All right, Chrissy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi.
So, hi. So what is she not aware of? I would say just that this authenticity, like, and when she is actually coming from her intuition rather than making it be a certain thing. Like, I'm sure knowing what I know about her from this call, she was like, okay, this is what I'm going to talk about, or maybe this is what I'll say. But she really trusted herself to go with her gut.
Yeah.
And how amazing that was for everybody, and how much more powerful it may have been than if she had something more
articulated, and that that authenticity is really her greatness.
Mm.
And when she got a little quiet at one point when you asked her a question, I really felt it in my body, like her heart. Like I really felt like something real was going on. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad Joanna's asking her this question, because I think maybe she's getting emotional. I got excited because, like, I'm a coach and I like when people feel things. But she said, oh, I have a cold. And I, well, that didn't feel right. And then she said, so I'm more emotional than usual. And I thought, oh, she is feeling something, but masking it behind apologizing for herself because of it. And Kara, like, that was, like, the most powerful part of the call for me, was when you decided to trust yourself and go with something unplanned, and when you felt something really deeply. Like, I could really feel that too. And I could only imagine being in her groups, that that would be the deepest experience with her in a group that I could have, is seeing that authenticity and that greatness that she has. And my hunch is that, ironically, if she didn't see this as an either or, she said, I don't understand how I can have these two things going on inside me.
Yeah.
It was black and white. Like, how can I want to be in front of people and hate it at the same time or get so nervous? My hunch is that if she, like she said, empowered both of these aspects of her fully, like, she'd be unstoppable.
Yeah. Beautiful. Really nice. Awesome. I'm going to take one more share here from Freehold, 4309.
Hey, Joanna, it's Dana.
Hi, Dana.
Hi. I was almost going to be like, oh, just pass me. You guys are really good at this. And I'm like,
you,
yep, right here. And
you,
like,
you raised,
oh,
your,
yeah,
hand,
yeah,
for a reason. Yep. And you raised your hand for a reason, so tell us one thing that you're hearing or...
Yeah, I mean, but again, it was, I was trying to find a way to, like, articulate it in a deeper way, but the hunch that I got was, like, there would be, like, power in this energy of, like, surrender, because I felt a lot of, like, resistance within her, or just maybe how she was sharing and the things, and then the other things that other people shared, it kind of made sense. It was maybe embracing those two energies of, like, the anxiety, but still being in that space. But anyway, what I was feeling was just this energy of, like, surrendering and just working from that place instead of if there is this, like, resistant energy inside. So I don't know if that's what came up for me.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, yes. So the reason why I'm asking the question about the hunches is because I want everybody, I mean, check your filters and always check if it makes sense for, right, like if this were a coaching session, even if we had just more time in this moment, I'd ask Kara, does that resonate right? But I want you to be listening to your client and to yourself and to listen to those hunches, because there's powerful pathways and breakthroughs through the hunches. Good. So, Kara, let me go back to you for a moment. What are you taking from this, or anything that you want to share?
Well, thank you, everyone. I'm really moved by everyone's care and insights. I think it feels like there's an exploration for me in holding, and holding both of these energies in me, and I do resonate with there being some power for me in that, and for people that I work with. And yeah, this idea of focusing on the other person versus just being in myself feels big. The intuitive piece that I think maybe because of my professional training and internal experiences growing up, there is this sort of desire to have a script.
Yeah.
And yet there's so much more power in just, like, really trusting that space of the moment.
Yeah.
I did have one question. I know that you've talked about the sister wound, and that's part of something that I remember you talking about it in a facilitation course intro, but I didn't really get an understanding of it. And I'd love just even a sentence or two about.
Yeah, I'll give you a real quickie, and then I'll post an article that I wrote in the group.
Oh, perfect.
But Sister Wound is just the ways that we compare ourselves with other women, get jealous of other women, feel less than other women, feel like we're taking away something from another woman or she's taking something from us, all of those things, whether you've had a sister or not.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, good. All right, awesome. Thank you, Kara. And thank you, everyone. Yeah, thank you, everyone. So, okay, I have homework for you guys, but before, I want to hear what you're taking for yourself from this call. So what'd you learn? Hopefully this practicum was helpful for you and useful. Star two, what are you seeing, either around listening or anything else? What are you taking away? Connie.
Joanna, I just really love that you ask questions in a way that leads. You might know the answer, but it seems like, well, my perception is that you ask questions to lead them to their own self-awareness. And I noticed about myself, I would have just told them what I'm noticing instead of asking questions so that they could become aware themselves. And I saw the power in that.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. We'll definitely dive way more into that in questioning. But, yeah, you know, there are moments to point blank share, for sure, and then other moments where it can be more impactful if you hold the space but allow the client to find it for him or herself. Good. Thank you. Corey?
What I really felt for myself was the opportunity in all these pieces. And I guess the curiosity of, if I work with this, how can I help? What can I see and pay attention for and support people with in kind of a different way? And I've had an extremely stressful 5 days, but I still was able to take a deep breath and say, just pay attention for what is here, what I can see, and what I can experience. And so I felt, and I haven't listened to last week's call yet because I hadn't had the opportunity yet, and so I felt like, wow, even in a time of what I feel for myself is a diminished presence of what I want to bring to everything I'm doing, there's still that opportunity to receive and to also give back to this situation, but also with clients and in life in general for myself.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad I was able to be on the call today.
Yeah, and this is such an important point that you're bringing forward. This is important for everyone because, you know, I sometimes hear from practitioners, like, oh, my life is so stressful, or it's the holiday time, it's so busy, or, you know, whatever is going on, and so it's hard for me to be fully present to my clients. And my kind of my take on that is, of course, there are sometimes, you know, certain circumstances which just, you know, take you out of the game. But really, 99.99999% of the time, you can put whatever is happening almost like in a little compartment for yourself and be able to step in to the session and just really be fully present for the client. I have done that for myself so many times, and I really feel like that is very possible. Good. Chrissy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, yeah, my takeaway is just that instead of telling or even asking a question and like trying to move ahead, just to be in what's happening is also a powerful place to be in the coaching conversation. And I think this is really important, especially because I know a lot of us in this group are intuitive. And it's a really great way just to practice checking in on that. You know, I notice that with my clients sometimes, just saying, you know, here's what I'm noticing. Do you notice that as well?
Yeah.
Or are you seeing that? Or what it sounds like is this. And they say, that's exactly it. Like, yes, you nailed it on the head. And that, I'm not sure I know how to articulate this, but for me, that changed my practice really quickly, going from, I think this is it, but I don't know, or this is what it is, and actually just asking them and getting on the same page with that helped me understand where I was making up a story and where I am being true to my intuition. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah, so yeah. I just think it's such a great tool that helps in the session and refining your skills and your perception.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're bringing that forward. We're going to go even deeper with that over our next few calls. Good. Okay, I'm going to take one more quick share. Linda.
So for me, it was good to validate for myself that I was hearing the majority of the points that were being brought up. But what I loved most about it was hearing the different approaches to the follow-up or the question that might be asked, so that, you know, I could go, that's, you know, interesting. I wouldn't have necessarily thought of it that way, but seeing the result that was generated, it was like, oh, cool. I'll, you know, put that in my tool chest. So there, that for me is the true value of all of this, is saying, yeah, I'm good, but I could be better, and there's things that I need to learn, and cool, I'm good with that.
Yeah, yes, that is the power of being in a group with, you know, people that are deep and layered and listening.
Absolutely.
And getting those approaches. Yeah, thank you. All right, so two pieces of homework. I've got a little worksheet, a little listening worksheet for you that you'll find in the Member Center, just almost an opportunity to do more of what we've done here in a simpler way on paper. I have a couple of just scenarios for you that I've made up, and, you know, opportunity for you to just pull out what you're hearing and seeing from them. And then second piece of homework, if you are working with a coaching partner, you know, coaching as usual, you know, whatever you're, you know, coach for the time, you obviously use all listening skills, but if when you're coaching, I want you to pay particular attention to your hunches. And if you're someone who's intuitive, like Chrissy was saying, and you often pay attention to your hunches, I want you to see if you can go even deeper, push that edge a little bit more. Pay attention to some of your farther out hunches. You may want to create awareness around them or ask the client about that during the session itself, but if not, when you break down, you know, get feedback afterwards, I want you to share with your partner some of those deeper hunches that you had. It's okay if they didn't resonate with your partner, right, or, you know, whatever it is, but I just want you to start practicing for wherever you're at with listening to hunches and following them. I want you to lean in even more to those places. All right. I hope you all enjoyed this call. I know I'll be talking to some of you shortly. But if not, have a wonderful week. I'll see you soon.
The moderator has left the conference.